Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today our focus is going to be Yechezkel Perek Yudches, the 18th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This is a very critical Perek theologically and also psychologically. Try to understand where the people of Israel are at this critical stage just before the imminent destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and also understanding the theology of destruction and punishment. This is a very important Perek to understand. So Yechezkel is responding to a claim that is made by the people around him, and the claim that he is responding to is the following. The people say, and this is what Hashem says, why are you saying the statement, which is, Avos yoichlu boiser, v'shinei habonim tikhena, that the parents, the fathers, will eat unripe fruit or grapes, and the children's teeth will get sharp. Usually if a person eats something which is an unripe grape, there's usually an effect that affects the teeth. There's a pain that it could inflict on the teeth. But here the parents are eating it, but the children are suffering from it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not the way it works. I need you, Yechezkel, to respond and say, Hein kol nefoshos li hena, all the souls belong to me, kenefesh ha'av or kenefesh ha'ben li hena, v'hanefesh ha'chatas hi tamus. I own all the neshamas. Those who sin will die. Those who don't sin will not die. And then he goes on to explain in specific details. So first he says like this. Imagine you have a good person. A person is a tzaddik. He does mishpat and staka. He doesn't go to eat from the mountains. He doesn't look at idol worship, or doesn't look at another person's spouse. Acts morally. Doesn't treat other people in their money in a nefarious way. Doesn't use usury, doesn't use interest. In such a person, that person will live a life of that person. Will live his life out. There'll be no problems that he'll have theoretically. Then there's the next person. But what happens to this person? V'hoilid lo ben poritz. But this tzaddik has a son who's a poritz, who breaks through boundaries. He's a murderer. He uses other people. He's immoral. He goes to the mountains. He has immoral relationships. He uses other people's money against them. He takes advantage of his brethren. Such a person, moistomus domov boyeh, that person will die in his sin. Then Yechezkel goes on further. What happens if that person has a good son? So we have a good person who gives birth to a bad person who gives birth to a good person. This good son does very much like his grandfather. So he does all the good things, the whole list of all the things that he does. And despite the fact that Aviv ki oshak oishek, gozel gezel och, asher loy tov osa besoich abov, v'inemei sabana, even though his father dies because of his terrible lifestyle, but, and you say, you're asking, madua lo noso habein ba'avon ha'av, you're asking me, why is it that this son, this grandson, who's good, should not die in his father's sin? He says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Look what he did. So he did good things. He listened to all my statutes. He's going to live. So those who sin die, and they're not going to die because of their parents. That's the argument. And finally, Yechezkel closes this by saying, let's say you have a Rasha who does teshuvah will ultimately be accepted. He won't die. And you have a tzaddik who lives there his whole life in righteousness and then sins, he's going to die because he sinned. Meaning ultimately, it's based on what they do, based on their actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds in here the refrain, which is, Hechofetz echpoetz mois rasha. Do I really want people, Rashaim, to die? No, Mashiachim. Halo b'shuvah midar chavachoya. I want him to do teshuvah and live. I'm not looking for vengeance or retribution. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then ends up, and the final aspect of this parak is summarized in the last pasuk, which is, I don't want people to die, I want people to do teshuvah, I'm going to give you the opportunity to change your ways. This is the parak. So let's understand that's the actual text. Let's understand some of the issues that we're dealing with over here. Why are people making this claim? There seems to be a claim that there's intergenerational punishment, that children are suffering for the sins of their parents, and that's the question, or that's the concern that Yechezkel is trying to re-educate. Why is this a concern right now? So, the one way we could look at it is the following. We could look at this historically. So, Abba Benel says, well, we know that if you read Melachim, it seems like the reason why the first Beis Hamikdash was signed and slated for destruction was because of the sins of Menashe, the evil king Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And because of his terrible sins, therefore, even though later on Yoshiyahu HaMelech did great things, he could not undo that decree. Well, so what ultimately the people are saying is they're saying it's not fair. The Beis Hamikdash can't be destroyed now. We can't be sitting in this cloud of Babylon because of what our parents did. It's not fair. They're rejecting this. In a more subtle way, Rabbi Angel, Rabbi Chaim Angel suggests over here, based on the tone of some of the Mephoreshim, is that it's not so much an issue of blame, but it's an issue of hopelessness, if you think about it. What they're really saying is that they're miyaish. They're giving up hope. They're saying, we're living in a generation where certainly the people he's speaking to live in Babylon. They've been exiled from the land of Israel already. Israel's destruction, Yerushalayim's destruction is imminent. They say, we stand no chance. Look, our parents did all this. We're done, we're finished. There's nothing else we can do. In fact, in Eicha, in the fifth parak in Pasuk Zion, this is what the Pasuk says. Avoseinu chatu ve'enom. Our fathers sinned and are no longer. Va'anachnu avonoseihem sovolnu. But now we're suffering from their sins. Meaning, we're done, we're finished, we're predetermined, we have no chance. Not so much blame, but hopelessness embedded in this claim. Whichever one it is, it's very bad, which is why Yechezkel has to take this on. So now, let's just look at quickly the history of this parak. So when it talks about the good man who has a bad son, that bad man who has a good son, what's this referring to? So meaning you don't really need all these three generations necessarily to make the argument. You could just talk about a bad person having a good son, if that was the argument that people were talking about. So the Barbara Nelson says actually there's a historical narrative over here, because we're talking about Tzadik Gomor at the beginning. That Tzadik Gomor is referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, a tremendous king, who had a terrible son, his name was Menashe, and Menashe's son and himself followed in the same ways, who was Amon. And he did all these things. All the list of things that are described about this person, the terrible things they did, Menashe and Amon, his son, did. But after that came the next generation, which was Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who did a tremendous amount of teshuvah. He reformed the entire generation. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is arguing is the reason why Yoshiyahu died was not because of Menashe's sin. Yoshiyahu was not suffering from his father or his grandfather's sin necessarily. It was his own portfolio which needed correcting. After this, it seems like just structurally, after clarifying the claim that people are in fact judged based on who they are, not who their parents are, at that point in time, then Abarbanel points out, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu then turns to a person who is a Rasha, or who is a Tzaddik, saying that if you are sinning, forget your parents, if you are sinning, you can do Teshuvah, because I want you to come back. That's how the Abarbanel understands it. But let's just deepen this a little bit more over here for a moment. And the Gemara actually talks about this in Makos Dachof Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says that there were four Nevi'im who came after Moshe Rabbeinu, who were mevatel, that they in a certain sense undermined something that Moshe Rabbeinu said, which is shocking to understand what that really means. What is this? So in Shmois Perek Lamedaled Pasuk Zayin, we're told that Moshe says Poked Avon Avois Abonim, that Moshe says that the sin of fathers is visited upon children, and we say this in Aseres Adibros. This is said a few times in the Torah. But Yechezkel Uvitla. Yechezkel comes and announces this theology by saying, it's no, there's no intergenerational punishment. What does it mean? Yechezkel has no right to do this. That's the sign of a false Navi, is to undermine the Torah. So what's understood over here is the following. That Aruch Laner on this Gemara, Rav Etlinger, in looking at that Gemara in Marcos, says, no, it's to be understood as the following, is that what Yechezkel was explaining was that comment of the Torah that there is intergenerational punishment is only limited to a case where the child is continuing in the same sins of their parents. I mean to say, there is a culpability based on the actions of the child themselves. Now, Abarbanel brings us into a clearer distinction in the following light. Now, Abarbanel says the following, is that when you have a Rasha ben Rasha, you have an evil person who's the son of an evil person, then yes, there is intergenerational punishment up to four generations, where there's a great-grandson can be seen, because ultimately, this person is doing terrible things, their parent is doing terrible things, so therefore, there's an accumulative effect in a similar way, in a much greater scale. When there's a Tzaddik ben Tzaddik, the second generation is getting cumulative reward from their parents as well. That's when it's going in the same trajectory. But if you have, like these people are claiming, you have a Rasha who has a tzaddik, so a tzaddik ben Rasha. In that case over here, this generation, then there is no intergenerational punishment. The sins of the parent do not carry on over to the children. That's what Yechezkel has been mechadish. You are not the victim of circumstance. You have the right and in fact the responsibility to change the way that you're going to be living your lives, and you have no right to be sitting in the shadow of doom because you say that ultimately your end has been predetermined by your parents. Because if you choose to, you can change your ways. That's ultimately what's happening over here. So what Yechezkel is doing is he's reforming not necessarily what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, but he's explaining what Moshe Rabbeinu meant in this when it's in a generation of despair. Last thing, just to close this parak with, is in the argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to show that everybody is distinct, he says the following: Hain in Pasuk Dalet, Hain kol nefashos li heina. All the souls belong to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? How's that explaining things? So the Malbim explains that true, actually genetically speaking, a parent does bequeath to their son or their daughter certain genetic aspects of themselves. So if they are predetermined to certain diseases, they can be transferred down to children. There's no question. But that's biologically. What the Malbim says is that's when it comes to the body. But when it comes to the soul and their spiritual portfolio, there is no connection. The souls are distinct. They are staccata. There is no connection between the one and the other. The new soul is stewarded into the world by a parent, but the parent it's not the same genome. It's not the same spiritual genome. Therefore, there is no connection between the one generation and the other. And this is a message of great hope at the same time as responsibility. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.